UCB.
Ladies and gentlemen, and children of all ages, welcome back to the Unalaska Community Theater of the Air and our holiday presentation of Yes, Virginia, There Is a Santa Claus.
Of course, you know, I didn't just happen to stop by Frank Church's flat. Thank you. I knew he was close, too close to doing something desperate, something final. Virginia O'Hanlon's letter was on my desk. She was a child in need of an answer, and Frank Church was a man in need of a reason to go on living. As of yet, neither one was aware of the other, but I intend to do something about that. Before that long, cold December night had given way to the first light of dawn, James O'Hanlon was out on the street. He had heard of a place that might be doing some hiring. He wanted to be the first in line for the job, and he was. James O'Hanlon had been standing in the cruel cold for more than an hour. And then somebody else arrived, his friend Dominic Donnelly.
Jim?
Good morning, Dom.
I'm not so sure. How long have you been waiting?
I don't know. About an hour? Shorty over at O'Hara's said they might be putting on some help today.
That's what my uncle told me, too. He works just across the street.
How's Celeste feeling?
Not good. Not good at all. Don't know what we're gonna do. She's just not getting any better.
Things will come right, Dom. You'll see. Well, appears there's three more looking for work. Morning.
We'll see about that.
Dang, this is the coldest winter I can recall.
It'll warm up.
Sure it will, in June.
What's the time?
About 5:30. How many are they putting on?
I don't know.
What's the pay?
What's anything pay? 10 cents an hour?
What do you expect with wheat at 50 cents a bushel and 7 cent cotton? The working class out of work and unorganized and nobody gives a darn. This country's going a heck in a handbasket.
If you don't like it here, brother, there's plenty of other countries.
Maybe the whole world's only one country. You ever hear of a man named Karl Marx?
No.
You will.
I don't want to hear about him unless he's got a job to offer.
Maybe he has. The international workers of the world. Maybe he's got a lot of jobs to offer.
Then what are you standing around here for? Go find your friend Carl.
All right, let me through here. Let me through.
Why?
Because I'm Tom Pryor. I do the hiring.
Sorry, Mr. Pryor.
Sure you are. Need one man. Coal passing for one day for $1. Regular Mantle will be back tomorrow. Well, you're all about the same size. So who was first?
He was. This man right here.
Jim, what you saying? I didn't...
Here's your man, Mr. Pryor.
All right, you follow me. And to the rest of you, good morning and Merry Christmas.
Jim, you need this job as much as I do.
Not as much as Celeste does. Besides, I got a line on another job. Got to get going.
Good afternoon, New York Sun. Yes, hopefully.
Mitch, here's another cable from Cuba. They killed Colonel Ruiz. Looks like things are heating up down there.
Yeah. Sure, I
think so. Want me to follow up on this?
Yeah, Fritz, follow up.
Okay. Hello, Frank.
Nice crisp day, huh, Frank?
Yeah, right. All right, Ed. What's the assignment?
Frank, we worked together for a long time. Only you've been doing most of the work, while I sit here gaining weight and losing my eyesight. You've covered wars, famines, floods, anarchists, contagious diseases, and...
That's my job.
And there's nobody better at it.
Ed, are you sure your middle initial isn't B for Barnum or Booncombe?
But this could be the toughest assignment I've ever handed you.
Big?
Very big.
Important?
Very important.
Dangerous?
It could be. Here, read this letter.
Mitchell, don't you know?
I know that you're the man to do it. Just read the letter.
Dear Redditor, I'm 8 years old. Some of my... Wait, is this your idea of a joke?
No, it's my idea of an assignment.
Come on, Ed. I write editorials, remember? That's what I get paid for.
I know what you get paid for, and this is going to be an editorial. Right on the front page.
Well, you said it yourself. Crime, corruption, controversy. That's what I write about.
Not at this time. Besides, this is controversial.
Why don't you just give it to that female reporter you hired?
Because I'm giving it to you.
What do I know about all of this?
Frank, even you were a kid once.
Yeah, and it took me years to get over it.
Nobody gets over it, Frank. You can answer this question, then you've answered a lot of other questions.
Well, then, you might not like my answer.
I'll take that risk, Frank. Maybe, just maybe, after all your other editorials are forgotten, when all the issues of today are resolved 100 years from now, when there are new issues to be considered, some kid will be asking the same question, and you, Frank P. Church, will have already written the answer.
You'll print what I write?
You write it, Francis, I'll print it.
Mr. Church, I've just finished an article. May I ask your opinion?
You may.
Thank you.
If you're going to Brody's Bar and Grill, it's for men only, remember?
Good afternoon, New York City. Yes, hold please.
Teddy, copy.
Yes, Miss Borland.
Here, take this copy. I'm going out for a while. Every story has to have a finish.
Good afternoon, New York
Sun. Hello, Mr. Church.
Otto.
Rye, Mr. Church?
Just one for the road, Otto. One bottle.
Frank Church stood on the street in front of Brody's Bar and Grill, holding an unopened pint of rye in one hand, and Virginia's letter in the other.
Dear editor, I am 8 years old. Some of my little friends say there is no Santa Claus. Papa says if you see it in the sun, it's so. Please tell me the truth. Is there a Santa Claus?
Frank Church put the bottle of rye in one pocket of his overcoat and Virginia's letter in the other. Then he walked towards the corner where he came upon a familiar Christmas scene. A Santa Claus in front of a store, bringing a small bell and standing next to a large box.
Toys for the orphans, toys for the orphans. Merry Christmas. Your gifts are appreciated by little boys and girls. Thank you, one and all, toys for little girls and boys. We thank you, one and all.
As he proceeded around the corner, Frank Church paused at the entrance of a small building, a church, where he could hear the voices of a choir uplifted in a chorus of Hallelujah, Hallelujah. On the next block, an old man in threadbare garments sat on a cold stone stoop and strained, trying to rise. A policeman appeared and looked down on the old man, who became apprehensive. After a moment, the policeman reached out and helped him to his feet. The old man looked with gratitude to the policeman.
Thank you.
Merry Christmas.
As he walked on, Frank Church passed the Salvation Army soup kitchen where the poor and the hungry were being fed and comforted. He made his way into a park where a band played as children skated on the ice and laughed while their parents watched. A blind man sat on a bench with his white cane, smiling and keeping tune with the music. Church sat on a nearby bench watching and listening. He saw something on the snowy ground. Frank Church reached down and picked it up. A baby's rattle. He shook it just enough to hear the sound from within. A uniformed park attendant carried a little girl 4 or 5 years of age. He did his best to comfort the lost child crying out for her parents.
Mommy! Daddy!
Then a distraught young husband and his wife made their way to the attendant and their lost child.
Mommy! Daddy!
Mary! Mary! Oh, sweetheart! Thank heavens! Here, come to Mommy. It's all right, Mary. We're right here. Mommy and Daddy are right here with you. It's all right, baby.
Thank you, sir. Thank you very much. We were at the bandstand listening to the music, and all of a sudden, she was gone. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you very much.
You're very welcome, and I wish you all a Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas.
God bless you.
Merry Christmas.
Frank Church looked at the baby's rattle still in his hand, then at the wedding ring on his finger. Gently, he placed the baby's rattle on the park bench, rose, and moved on. Later, Frank Church knelt near the tombstone of his wife and baby. He placed fresh flowers at the grave, rose and said a silent prayer, then moved away. He stopped at a nearby receptacle, removed from his pocket the pint of rye, still full, and dropped the bottle into the trash. As he walked away, Andrea Borland appeared, smiled, and watched, as she had been watching since Frank Church left the office. That night, Frank Church went back to his desk at the City Room of the Sun. He put a sheet of paper into the roller of his typewriter and thought about the question an 8-year-old girl named Virginia O'Hanlon had asked.
Please tell me the truth. Is there a Santa Claus?
Then, Frank Church proceeded to answer Virginia's question.
Morning, Mrs. Goldstein. What a nice surprise.
I hate to ask, but could you nice people take this brisket off my hands?
I don't understand.
Since my dear dead Saul left me 3 years ago next September, I always cook too much. Habit, you know. I'd really appreciate if you'd enjoy this with your family. It's the finest. Saul left me well enough off, you know.
Mrs. Goldstein...
It's for you and your family. Now enjoy, and Merry Christmas.
Thank you, and have a very happy Hanukkah to you, Mrs. Goldstein. God bless you.
He always has. You go ahead. I'll close the door.
Oh, James, morning. Mrs. Goldstein brought by some beef.
I heard.
Feeling right this morning, James?
It's the day before Christmas. How should I feel, Evie? No work, no gifts, no tree.
We have food on the table.
Who put it there? Surely not me. I'm the breadwinner, Evie. Or at least, I should be. But who feeds us? Some old lady who says she cooks too much?
How it came about is not important. It's the thought.
The thought? I think too, Evie. I think every day of the week how I can't take care of my family.
You should listen to yourself sometime. You certainly don't practice what you preach.
What do you mean?
You're a fine one to be telling your little girl about the gift of friendship and love.
She's exactly that, Evie. A little girl. She's too young to know the hard truth. That will come soon enough for her.
Shh! Keep your voice down. You'll raise the children.
Ugh. I'm sorry. I'm just tired. Tired of doing nothing. I want to work. I need to work. To provide for my family.
Have faith, James.
Faith? Darn it, Evie. How much longer am I to hold on? I'm running out of hope. I have to face the stark reality. How much can a man take? Oh.
Good morning, Papa.
I'm sorry, children. Look, there was a crazy man here a minute ago, but he's gone now.
It's all right, Papa.
Yeah, Papa, it's okay. Really.
Mrs. O'Hallen?
Yes?
I'm Officer Akins, and this is Officer Blake. Is Mr. O'Hallen at home?
Yes. What is it?
Mr. O'Hanlon, would you come down to the station with us, please?
What's it all about, officers?
It'll all be explained at the station.
Is my pa being arrested?
Of course not. Is he, officers?
Mr. O'Hanlon wanted for questioning in a matter of a robbery at O'Hara's Bar and Grill a short time back.
But I told the police everything I know. Please, officers, it's Christmas Eve.
We're well aware of that fact, Mr. O'Hanlon. We have families, too.
It's that thief, isn't it? He's up to something. He said he'd get even. See, Evie? See what I mean? See what I get for being a hero?
Please, Mr. O'Hanlon.
All right. I'll get my coat. Maybe that crazy man wasn't so crazy after all.
Paper, paper, get your daily paper, New York Sun.
Mama, may I go down to the street for a minute?
I guess so, but bundle real warm.
Can I go too?
No, Sean, I'll be right back.
I never get to do nothing!
I'd been in a newspaper game for a long time and covered some pretty big stories. The assassination of President Garfield, the bombing of Haymarket Square, the dedication of the Statue of Liberty, the Sino-Japanese War, Coxey's Army, and a lot more. But I never saw anything quite like the reaction, the excitement, inside what some people call a jaded city room, as there was that day when Frank Church's editorial appeared on the front page of the Sun and replied to the letter from 8-year-old Virginia O'Hanlon. I looked on as Church retrieved his gold watch from the envelope in his desk. He slipped the photo of Elizabeth back into the lid as the tune played, closed the lid and put the watch in his pocket. Then he reached into another pocket and brought out another watch.
Teddy! Teddy! Hey, come here!
Right here, Mr. Church. Say, that article was a...
a real humdinger?
You bet!
Hey, Teddy. Here's a little present for you. It's not real gold and it doesn't play a tune, but it was my first watch and it helped me to get started every day for a good many years. Merry Christmas!
Thanks, Mr. Church. Merry Christmas.
Francis, you've given us all, including yourself, a very Merry Christmas.
Ed, please tell Martha I'll be glad to join you for Christmas dinner.
Excellent, excellent.
Hey, Mrs. Borland.
Yes, Mr. Church.
You are very adept at following people.
I had hoped you didn't notice.
Well, yes, I did.
Then, Mr. Church, I wonder if you'd mind following me somewhere.
Now?
Yes, now. Every story's got to have a finish.
I had an idea where Andrea Borland was taking Frank Church, and it wasn't to Brody's Bar and Grill. That day, thousands upon thousands of people in New York were reading his editorial. In years to come, it would be read and reread by millions in many languages in many countries all over the world. But what about the little girl for whom it was meant? What about Virginia O'Hanlon?
I don't know what's keeping your father, children. He's been gone.
You think Papa's in jail?
Sean, of course not. He's probably...
Is this the home of the O'Hanlon clan? Am I in the right place?
Papa! Papa!
Oh, James, darling, we were so worried. What happened? What's all this you're carrying? A Christmas tree? And that bag filled with...
No Santa Claus, huh? No faith? No hope, huh? Well, I'm here to tell you different.
What, Papa? Tell us, Papa.
The tree? Do you like it?
It's the most beautiful cut-down tree I've ever seen. But if you don't tell us what this is all about, James O'Hanlon, I'll scream, or faint, or both.
Virginia, place the gifts around the tree. Mind you, don't step on them. Sean boy?
I won't, Papa. You bet I won't.
Don't scream, Evie, or faint. Just listen. Well, to make a long tale short... Oh, speaking of tales, there's something in this box I brought home for you. Here, I'll open it. For you, Sean, my boy. A kitten.
Oh, Papa.
He was a friend when I needed one.
James, how can we afford a kitten, much less all of this?
Let him eat brisket.
Oh, you.
Oh, come now. Let me tell you what happened.
Yes, Papa. Tell us what happened.
Well, now, it seems that the fellow I helped catch at O'Hara's has got himself a record in Chicago. And several other states want him bad enough to have offered a reward. Here, darling, money. You remember money, don't you? From my pocket to your purse.
Praise the Lord.
Of course, that's what's left after I bought some gifts and the food and the tree.
I'll make a stretch.
Just for a week, I got another surprise at the police station.
What? More?
It seems that the fair city of New York has need of policemen. Because of the incident at O'Hara's, and at Sergeant Flynn's recommendation, they've asked me to become one of New York's finest. They said I displayed extreme heroism.
Oh, Papa, can I see your badge? Can I?
What a bright goose of a boy. Not yet, Sean. I start the day after Christmas. That's when I get my badge. And so does Dominic Dinelli.
What do you mean, Papa?
Sergeant Flynn said the precinct could use several good men. I suggested Dom.
That's the best medicine Maria's mother could have.
Can we open our presents now, Papa?
Nope. Christmas morning as always, Sean. It's tradition.
Tradition or no, Papa, here's something I had hidden.
What's this, Virginia?
This present can't wait till tomorrow, Papa. It will be too late. I found a penny and, well, it's for you. Please open it.
Oh, all right. We'll make an exception since tomorrow will be too late.
It's today's paper, Papa. Not a soggy, smelly one from yesterday. The newsboy let me have it for a penny.
The spirit of generosity knows no bounds.
Thank you, Virginia. I love you.
I love you too, Papa.
Well now, I won't be reading the Help Wanted section anymore, but hold on a minute. Would you all come over here a minute? Please. And right on the front page. Is there a Santa Claus? We take pleasure in answering at once, and thus prominently, the communication below, expressing at the same time our gratification that its faithful author is numbered among the friends of the sun. Dear editor, I am 8 years old. Some of my little friends say there is no Santa Claus. Papa says,
if you see it in the sun, it's so.
Please tell me the truth. Is there a Santa Claus? It's signed, Virginia O'Hanlon, 115 West 95th Street.
Well, what did they say, Papa?
I'll read it to you. Virginia, your little friends are wrong.
As James O'Hanlon read the editorial, Dominic Dinelli and Maria appeared at the open doorway. Dinelli held a copy of The Sun.
They have been affected by the skepticism of a skeptical age. They do not believe except what they see. They think that nothing can be which is not comprehensible by their little minds. All minds, Virginia, whether they be men's or children's, are little.
Dominic and Maria were joined by Mr. Schuler and Mrs. Goldstein, both holding copies of The Sun. They all exchanged quiet smiles as James O'Hanlon continued to read.
In this great universe of ours, man is a mere insect, an ant in his intellect, as compared to the boundless world about him, as measured by the intelligence capable of grasping the whole of the truth and knowledge. Yes, Virginia, there is a Santa Claus. He exists as certainly as love and generosity and devotion exist. And you know that they abound and give your life its highest beauty and joy. Alas, how dreary would be the world if there were no Santa Claus. It would be as dreary as if there were no Virginias. There would be no childlike faith, no poetry, no romance to make tolerable this existence. The eternal light with which childhood fills the world would be extinguished.
Sergeant Flynn appeared. He too held a copy of The Sun. Then O'Hara and Shorty, as O'Hanlon continued reading.
Not believe in Santa Claus? You might as well not believe in fairies. You might get your papa to hire men to watch all the chimneys on Christmas Eve to catch Santa Claus, but even if they do not see Santa Claus coming down, what would that prove? Nobody sees Santa Claus, but that is no sign that there is no Santa Claus.
And then Andrea Borland arrived and stood in the doorway. Next to her, Frank Church.
The most real things in the world are those that neither children nor man can see. Nobody can conceive or imagine all the wonders there are unseen and unseeable in the world.
You tear apart a baby's rattle and see what makes the noise inside.
But there is a veil covering the unseen world which not the strongest men, nor even the united strength of all the strongest men who ever lived, could tear apart. Only faith, fancy, poetry, love, romance can push aside that curtain and view this supernal beauty and glory beyond. Is it all real? Ah, Virginia, in all this world, there is nothing else as real and abiding. No Santa Claus? Thank God he lives and lives forever.
1,000 years from now, Virginia, nay, 10 times 10,000 years from now, he will continue to make glad the heart of childhood.
The next morning, presents were being exchanged at the O'Hanlon household.
And Evie, this is for you.
Oh, James, thank you. A shawl. A blue shawl.
It matches your eyes, darling. And it will keep you warm.
Thank you, James. I've never felt warmer and happier.
You will from now on, Evie. Well, children, we've opened all the presents, and I do believe this is the merriest Christmas anybody's ever had.
You bet, Papa. But look, behind the tree, there's another present. It must be for you, Virginia. I'll get it for you. It's unwrapped. Here, a brand new pair of shoes. Who are they from?
Both Evie and James looked at each other, both surprised. From you? Evie silently asked with a look. No, James O'Hanlon shrugged. Virginia held up the shoes and smiled.
They must be from Santa Claus.
No, Santa Claus? Thank God he lives. And he lives forever. You see, some stories don't really have an ending. They go on forever. Until next year, Merry Christmas.
Ladies and gentlemen, and children of all ages, wishing you all a Merry Christmas. The Unalaska Community Theater of the Air now concludes our holiday broadcast of Yes, Virginia, There Is a Santa Claus. This production of Yes, Virginia, There Is a Santa Claus, a radio play in two acts, was co-produced by KUCB and the Unalaska Community Theater Program. A special thanks to the City of Unalaska Parks, Culture, and Recreation Department. Yes, Virginia, There Is a Santa Claus was written by Andrew J. Finity, based on the teleplay by Val DeCroll and Andrew J. Finity, produced by special arrangement with the Dramatic Publishing Company of Woodstock, Illinois. Starring Grace Burnham as Virginia O'Hanlon, Kristen Burnham as Evie O'Hanlon, Mary Hymas as Scotty, Evelyn Kitsuk as Susan, Reagan Kitsuk as Officer Flynn, Schuler, Chambers, Park Attendant, Old Man, and Voice, Karen Kresh as Andrea, Sam, and Wife, Gavin Longo as Sean O'Hanlon, Thief, and Shannon, Heidi Lucking as Mrs. Goldstein, Andy Lusk as Jim, Otto, and Red, Linda Liebeck Robinson as Frank P. Church and George, Hannah Nordine as Maria, Jim Pollan as Edward P. Mitchell, Anne Palesatine as Officer Blake, Sophia Stewart Rossi as Cornelius Barrington, Carlos Tayag as James O'Hanlon, Remy Tayag as Child, Maya Tudiakoff as Julie, Celeste, and Pryor, Eric Wolford as Teddy Murray and Fritz, Nadia Whitaker as Officer Akins, Santa, Newsboy, and Goss, Dean Williams as Dominic, Donnelly, and O'Hara, Alyssa McDonald as the announcer. Lisa Nielsen directed this production. Sound design and mix by Lauren Adams. Additional sound engineering by Carlos Tayag, Andy Lusk, Sophia Stewart Rossi, and Theo Greenlee. Thank you so much for listening. And from all of us at KUCB, a very happy holidays.